Dr. Hassan Vali sees it all the time. He says people giving each other a wide berth on the footpath, as in social distancing, or pushing the traffic light button with their elbow. I've seen that. In fact, the other day I saw a bloke standing at a traffic light and he was trying to touch it with his foot, lifting his foot up to touch the button. I almost wanted to go over and do it for him. Or obsessively sanitising their hands. But he sees those same people not wearing their masks properly or hopping on a crowded tram or going to a pub. The problem, Dr. Vali says, who is an associate professor of epidemiology at La Trobe University, is that humans are not very good at thinking about risk. We're not very good at thinking about risk. We welcome to the program Dr. Hassan Vali this afternoon. Hello, Hassan, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on your show.
Pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I wanted to ask you, you say that we're not good at thinking about risk. Why aren't we good as humans about thinking about risk?
Look, that's a really good question, and I think it comes down just to the way our brains are wired up. We're probably good at understanding, like, you know, very acute risks, like, you know, if you were going to get sort of stampeded by a herd of mammoths and that sort of situation. But when we're talking about the kind of nuanced level of risk that we experience in the modern world, our brains just don't naturally understand that type of risk particularly well.
You say that you still feel there's a lot of people who think of risk in terms of, well, it's either risky or it's completely safe. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, I think just it's exactly what you mentioned in the introduction. Like, people think about some things as being risky and some things as being safe, and so they put, you know, an equal amount of effort to putting their foot or using their foot to press the pedestrian cross button as they would to another activity that might protect them to a greater degree. So, you know, it's a natural thing. We've been bombarded with so much information regarding coronavirus and so much has changed. You know, I guess our brains, a lot of us have simplified things down into what's risky and what's safe. But I think we kind of need to move into a space now where we start to have a more nuanced understanding of the degree of risk that certain activities pose.
For example, what you're saying is the degree of risk of travelling on public transport without a mask, the degree of risk of maybe going to a football match or a sporting event without a mask, that type of thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think, you know, understanding that different activities pose different levels of risk and, you know, in one sense, a lot of people have compiled, you know, these lists of activities to help people, but probably what's more useful is if people understand the basic principles so that they can work out the level of risk for themselves.
Do you think we as a society now, because this COVID-19 has gone on for so long, and people have become nonchalant about it?
Look, I think there's a sort of a worry that we're getting a little bit fatigued from the situation, and I think that's why it's really important to understand the nuance in the risk or the hazard that activities pose, because the worry is that if we've only got a sort of finite amount of energy to expend in trying to perform these mitigation activities, then you don't want to waste them doing sort of activities that have low benefit when you could be focusing on wearing your mask properly, or you could be focusing on not using public transport or not going to parties. So, you know, I think there is a worry that we are getting a little bit desensitized to, you know, everything that's going on.
So when you're saying risk, you're thinking that, you know, touching the pedestrian crossing button is low risk. Is that a good
yeah,
example?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think when we think about coronavirus, there are sort of three main modes of transmission that we're probably all aware of. There's touching surfaces, there's being in close contact with people, and then there's aerosol transmission. So, you know, I think the first level of understanding how risky things are to understand the relative importance of those three modes of transmission. And, you know, it's not talked about a lot, and we do spend a lot of time washing our hands and using hand sanitizer, which is great, and cleaning surfaces. But really, the greatest risk is posed by being in close contact with another person. And so I think it's important to make that distinction. So, you know, let's just be really clear. It's not about not doing those other things, but just understanding that it is close person-to-person contact, which is what we really need to concentrate on.
So let's go through the high risk. There's going to any large gathering, as in a bar, a concert, a sports event, or a party. That's high risk. Taking public transport during peak times, eating inside a cafe or a restaurant, going to a gym or working at an office. I was surprised to see on that list of high risk, eating inside at a cafe or restaurant. I was surprised to see that as high risk, but I suppose it is because you're in a room with, you know, closed walls and a ceiling with lots of people.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's really important to sort of be clear that this risk list is kind of a little bit arbitrary, and it depends on the details of the situation that you're in. But the worst case scenario is that if you're inside in a restaurant with lots of people and you don't have control over that environment, so you could come into close contact with a lot of people, and we know how easy it is for transmission to occur indoors, then that's potentially a high risk situation. But you can make that safer if there are less people inside, if you're wearing a mask, you know, to the extent that you can when you're in a restaurant, and if you're doing your hand hygiene measures as well. So, you know, you can reduce the risk in those inherently high-risk environments, but it's just a guide. It's just to, you know, make people aware of, you know, if they're making a decision, it's good that they know that if they're going to a restaurant indoors in this current situation that we're in, that's potentially a high-risk situation.
I read that you have a formula for working out risk. Tell us about this.
Yeah, look, so I mean, I think it's a very simple formula in that it is about distance and time. So the distance you are from another person is really important, and the time that you spend in close proximity to that person is important. So if you look at those two variables, you're trying to minimize the distance you know, or you're trying to maximize the distance you are from another person, and you're trying to minimize the time you spend close to other people, and that is going to lead to a reduction in risk of catching coronavirus.
So if you think about it, really, in those simple three words, distance plus time, you can understand why, when you look at high risk, going to any large gathering, a bar, a concert, sports event, even a party, you are in close contact and you're there with each other for a long time. Hence, it's a high risk. It's the same as public transport. We go back to the restaurants and the cafes. You're there, close proximity for a relatively long time. Going to the gym and, of course, working at the office. But we've got our politicians saying, you know, go back to work. Get people back to work in an office. So sometimes our messages from the politicians are conflicting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, this is the line that we're sort of walking at the moment, in that we're trying to, you know, we can't sort of lock ourselves away completely forever. And so we are going to put ourselves in situations that have a certain level of risk. But then it's our responsibility to try and do as much as we can to minimise our risk within those environments. So if you are in an office, obviously there's no choice in Melbourne, you have to wear a mask. But, you know, if you're in Sydney, you want to be wearing a mask. You want to be making sure you don't get too close to people. You know, so if you can do things to reduce the risk within these high-risk setting. So that's a very important thing to be aware of.
Thank you for the time. We'll leave it there. We appreciate the time that we spent with you this afternoon. I suppose the takeaway is the longer you spend close to someone, the higher your risk. Dr. Hassan Valley, thank you again.
Nice talking to you.
Likewise.